It's music sin fronteras as Buenos Dias from lockdown. From Ajijic, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Scene Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan, and today we have a special treat, a new album release and an interview with the band, of course, right? But first, I want to welcome everyone on Block Talk Radio listening to us today, as well as on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates, and also on the Artistic Echoes and Canal Side Radio Networks in the UK, who will hear us tomorrow. If you have questions or comments for our guests, you can email them to musicscenefronterasmx, all one word, at gmail.com. Don't forget the MX because we're in Mexico. And if you're listening to us on a podcast or you're listening to us in England, you can still email questions for our guests and we'll forward them to our guests and they can answer directly to you. Okay. And as always, remember that we are in Mexico, which is a joyfully musical and pretty noisy country. Our studio is downtown and our soundproofing is pretty good, but we are in lockdown. But you may still hear a truck or a police car with a loudspeaker telling people to wear their masks and get back inside. They are pretty serious here. Believe it or not, they've got police cars cruising the streets with loudspeakers and stopping people and saying, what are you doing out here? Particularly not here in Ajijic, but a little bit up the road to another lakeside town, Jocatepec, where they are arresting people who are not following the rules. Okay, earlier this week, we talked with the Rumba Madre. That's the Rumba Madre band about their new song and video, La Rumba del Coco, and their album, Prisiones y Fugas, which is being released today. And Prisiones y Fugas is Prisoners and Leaks in English. So we're going to play the interview. Remember, this is a pre-recorded interview, so don't call in because the Rumba Madre is not here. But you can email questions and we'll forward them to the band. Now, before we play the interview, let me give you a little background on this amazing band. The Rumba Madre was founded in 2018 in, not Mexico, Nashville, Tennessee. And it is truly a scene fronteras band, three truly scene fronteras amigos. Ruben is a classically trained guitarist and singer from Colombia, and he has a vast experience in Latin American folk music. Ben is a bass player from Puerto Rico, and he's got many years of playing salsa and merengue and cumbia and bachata and all those other great Caribbean styles that you love to dance to. The third member of the band is Galician Basque. That's from Galicia in Spain. And his name is David, and he's a contemporary trained guitarist and vocalist. And he has a background in Spanish popular music, including flamenco, which is not an easy thing to learn, and Galician Celtic. Who knew there were Celts in Galicia? But there were. Actually, the Celts were all over northern and central Europe, even back to Roman days. In addition, David is a professor of Spanish cultural studies at a university in the United States, in El Paso. He conducts research on the relationship between music, social movements, and political identity. So, of course, I had to have him on the show, all right? Together, these three men are a cultural phenomenon, and they aim to cultivate a more respectful and caring world, particularly under a political and economic climate that we're living in right now. And they have a new video out that is a hysterical send-up of ICE and immigration policies. So that's the background. Here's the conversation. And don't forget, now, this was taped earlier this week, so don't call in. Welcome to Music Scene Fronteras. So glad you guys could make it early for a taped interview. Thank you.
Thank you. David here from El Paso. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Ben Alexander from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yay, truly, truly international. Well, I was fortunate to get an advanced copy of the album, Prisiones y Fugas, last week, and I've been listening to it all week. And you guys rock. This record is so much fun. I know you had some great collaborators and production folks on it. It sort of sounds like a movie party. Was it as much fun to record as it is to listen to?
Well, I think it was, yeah. I mean, it was a huge experiment. You know, when we had the idea of the album, we had the songs and the concept and everything. But once we got to the studio, we brought in many different people that, you know, from different backgrounds and people that do different things. So every time that anyone did something, it was like this huge discovery, because it would add something new to the sound. So it was a lot of fun, yeah. I mean, it's been the most fun that I've had in a studio in my life. So, yeah.
Well, it sure sounds like
it. Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, I've known Myrna at the Criteria Agency for a long time now. So when she sent me your music and your background, I knew you had to be good, and I had to book you. And you guys are pure Sin Fronteras. Colombia, Puerto Rico, Spain, Galicia and Spain. You combine Caribbean beats and mariachi and punk and trap. How did you get together, and how did you form this combination called Rumba Madre that works so well?
Well, I mean, it was three friends, you know, that we've been working with different projects, different bands individually, and we got together. Actually, Ruben and David got together first, and then they brought me into the mix. And we start, you know, putting everything together, all the heads, you know, together, all the ideas of, unique project, a unique, you know, form of giving a good music out there. And, you know, it took off, you know, we start getting, you know, from the rumba flamenca and then fusioning everything else. Like you said, you know, trap, punk, rock, salsa, Caribbean, Afro-Caribbean, and all that, and then that's what the Rumba Mother gave birth, you know.
Well, I know you released one song early, La Rumba de Coco, and along with a really funny video. So I want to play a little bit of the song so our audience knows what all the excitement's about, and then dive head first into the music and the video. So here is La Rumba de Coco.
Esa leyenda se ve la Rocky Mountains a California y hasta San Diego por Arizona. Vamos marcando nuestro compás, bajando hasta Tijuana y a Rosarito. Me compro un coco la mar de rico, viene y me dice usted ilegal. Pero qué me cuenta, señora gente, si yo nunca hice mal a nadie menos a usted. Ay, tenga piedad, quiero volver a casa por Navidad. Ay, señora gente, tenga piedad, le juro que este coco no es mío, que yo no será.
Well, first of all, I love the song. I mean, it's just, I'm dancing here in the studio. I have this long extension cord on my headphones so I can dance around. It's really funny, and it's really a wonderful send-up. But I have been to the border at Nogales. I have been to the Elroy Immigrant Detention Center, and I've seen the undocumented families chained together and dragged before a federal judge in Tucson to plead in a language they don't speak. I've seen ICE agents chase women and children in helicopters. I've met with the Colibri volunteers who bring in the bodies of immigrants who died in the desert. So on one hand, I'm grateful that you can mock ICE and the anti-Mexican attitude of this administration, which is exactly what's needed right now. On the other hand, I wonder, were there conversations you all had together about treating something so serious with sarcasm? And does it help to change attitudes? David, I think this is your field, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so I can tell you about how, you know, the concept came about. The idea of the entire band and the album Prisiones y Fugas and also the single La Rumba del Coco, I mean, it comes from a strong social content and, you know, us discussing different topics regarding to our current society. But that said, there's a lot of, discussions that go around things that happen with immigration that are very important, and, you know, people have to be, I wouldn't say they have to be angry, but they have to react adequately to what's happening. But often what happens with that is that that also can create a reaction that is more negative. And what I mean by that is that, let's put it this way, by simply talking about how bad something is, literally, people might just get sort of depressed and think, like, this is really bad, we can't do anything else. So although we do agree with all that, and that's a very important part of everything, we thought that we had to aesthetically, with the sound, with the colors and everything, you know, open the same conversation, but at the same time, send a message of hope and a message that makes you want to stand up and move forward and do something that is still related to the same goal, but that is not making you feel maybe as negative or maybe as depressed as it would in other circumstances. And, that's a difficult thing to achieve. And one of the things that I was thinking when I was writing the song is that maybe many people could think that, oh, but you're making fun of something very serious. And I'm like, we're not making fun of something serious. We're trying to show how absurd it is what ICE and the things that happen at the border are and what people go through. But I want you to enjoy it so that you can actually do something about it. And I think, yeah, that's like the in a nutshell.
Okay. I completely agree with you. I don't know if you know this, but prior to doing what I'm doing now, I was a professor of mass media and international relations, and I studied what the media can do to changes in political attitudes, including music. So I understand what you're getting at there. I thought it was kind of doubly ironic in the video that not only were you going from one U.S. state to another, of course, there are no state border checkpoints, but you were denied entry because you looked Mexican, which, of course, none of you are. You could have said Latino when you put the script together, but you chose to say Mexican. Why did you do that?
Well, I chose Mexican because I'd say it's the immediate, you know, country with which the United States has its border. And even though, of course, there are many people that come through that border, in a way, I didn't want to, like, confuse. I wanted it to be clear that we're referring to the problems that happen between Mexico and the United States. You know, that it's not Canada. So I thought that actually referring to Mexican, and also we did film that in between Ciudad Juarez and El Paso with a Mexican crew. So, you know, that avoids people maybe thinking that it could be any other border, because of course there's border, I mean, Puerto Rico and Cuba and everything, but it's a different kind of border. So I think that the Mexican, the U.S.-Mexican border really represents, you know, all the, I'd say, like, all the strength of the horrible things that happen with ICE and, you know, and the Border Patrol, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I understand. And in the last scene, you're in a cell with a Mexican, a mariachi. So I think there's kind of a joke within a joke in there. I grew up in L.A., which has almost as many mariachis per square foot as Chapala or Guadalajara, and many of them aren't Mexican. Mariachi is everywhere. There's even Grammys go to mariachis like the Flor de Tualoche, which includes women from Italy and Germany and Australia and the United States. Was the mariachi in the cell another ironic statement, another poke at the stereotype?
Yeah, that was, again, the same way we used the coconut as a symbol in different ways. But first, it's a fruit. So we've been arrested for a fruit. While, you know, there's things happening around us. Like, there's a family that's been arrested in one of the scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, they're not being arrested. They're actually just taken through the border, and then God knows where they're going. But the whole hassle that's happening is about us having a coconut. And the mariachi, at the end, has a chili.
Yeah.
So that was, again, the same like connection. Like, we've been brought here because we have this coconut that also represents some kind of, like, Latin fruit, because, you know, like, the Caribbean, Puerto Rico, Cuba, coconut is like a you know, like a tropical
yeah.
Caribbean fruit. But then we have the mariachi, who's been, you know, put into jail because he looks Mexican, because he looks like a mariachi, and because he has a chili. And the chili is obviously a Mexican thing. So that was kind of like the concept behind that.
Okay. I don't know if ICE knows it, but the number three fast food in the United States right now is the taco. Anyway, so much for analyzing. Let's go back to having fun and with this awesome album. Selecting the songs from Prisiones y Fugaz to play today was really tough. I love the harmonies and the rhythms of Domino. I love the heart in Mi Barrio. And I love the emotional softness of Prisioneros. But when I got to the last song in the album, I just flipped. It's a blast. It's my favorite song. And I'm going to play a bit of it. And the song is Your Favorite Mariachi.
Okay.
Pinche ciudad de la música. Ahí les va eso para que aprendan.
We've been trying really hard to find a gig that pays so well, but forever we won't have to work again. But it's getting really tough, cause I don't have an ass built one, and countries know my thing as we can tell. I don't think we'll be on Broadway, we won't make it to the billboards, we probably won't even play for months. But when May comes around, here comes Cinco de Mayo, and we'll be right here waiting just for you. We are the Rumba Madre, the favorite mariachi local band. Don't hesitate to call us, I promise everyone we'll have a blast. We are the Rumba Madre, your favorite mariachi local band. Don't hesitate to call us, I promise everyone we'll have a blast.
You know, I can't decide if the music in there is Russian, country western, banda, pure polka, or just musical insanity. Who wrote?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Who wrote it and where did the idea come from?
Well, that's some, I mean, you know, like us as people who play Latin music and who speak Spanish, and I would even say that maybe that we kind of look different in Nashville when you go downtown. Okay, so often we would, you know, like we would play at this place and they would ask us, so, hey, can you play La Macarena? Can you play like La Bamba? Can you play like, do you play the mariachi? Because it's like everything is the same. If it's in Spanish, it's just one style. So that song, it's about us saying, yes, we're your favorite mariachi band, and if it's Cinco de Mayo, we're here for you. Just call us. You know, if it's the Hispanic Heritage Month, we're ready. Call us up. We're here.
Oh, that's great. I love it. That is absolutely wonderful. And you turn it into kind of a self-anthem, you know, and a lot of bands do self-anthems, but I have a strong feeling that, just like you described, this is not a self-anthem. It's a clever musical joke wrapped up in a danceable song masquerading as a self-anthem. So I congratulate you on not only your music, but your humor.
Thank you. I'd say it's like an anti-anthem almost.
Yes, the anti-anthem. You know, you guys have, the three of you, and we only have two of you now, but the three of you have really kind of astonishing musical backgrounds. Ruben, who's not here, is a classically trained guitarist. Benjamin, you're a bass man, and you cut your teeth on Caribbean pop. And yes. David, you're a guitar virtuoso, And your repertoire includes flamenco, which is not an easy style to learn, pop, and Galician Celtic. And for our listeners who may not know it, the Celts occupied most of Western Europe, including northern Spain, since before the Roman Empire. They weren't all Irish. Do you consciously try to bring all these influences together? Do you ever sit down and decide to write a song that blends, say, old punk and bachata and Celtic folk music?
Well, yes, we do, like, consciously do that, but also sometimes, like, when we were at the studio, it just happens, you know, like, Ruben might come with a, so maybe he has a, because Ruben has written some songs too, so maybe he has his own song, and they're like, oh, let's add this, and then goes, let's add something else here, and that can come naturally, because, you know, like, Ben, if he plays something on the bass, this maybe going to sound merengue, or it's going to have some kind of, like, Caribbean stuff. So sometimes it's, you know, the we try to, sometimes it just happens. But there is, for sure, you know, a very subtle, I'd say, like, a strategy behind every song that tries to connect the message and what's being played. Like the one that we just talked about, the, your favorite mariachi, we mix different stuff, but we also wanted it to sound like a corrido, so like a Mexican corrido.
So, and it did. You achieved that. Right.
Yeah, so I'd say there's a lot of thought and there's a lot of magic that just happens too.
Oh, my God. You know, and you know, now that you mention that, because you know, I drive around with a Mexican radio station on my car all the time since I'm in Mexico, and I hear a lot of corridos and a lot of mariachi being in Chapala, which claims to be the home of mariachi. And thinking, yeah, that's exactly what you did. That's really cool. All right. I'm really looking forward to seeing you live. Well, we're almost out of time.
And I don't know.
Go ahead.
But I don't know if you noticed, too, in that same song, the guitar is playing country music, which is the other reference to Nashville. As in, yep, there you go. There you go, your country. Yep. You enjoy your country if you want it. You have it.
I did catch that. And that's why I said I wasn't sure if it was Russian or country western or banda or whatever. No, I did catch that. And you mentioned Nashville, which is where you are, Benjamin. Is there a good sized Latino community in Nashville now?
It has grown. It didn't used to. It was a couple family, like probably I'd say 10, 12 years ago. But since the past 5, 6 years, or I'll say 7 years, he has grown, you know, very much, very, very much, you know. And not only on the Hispanic community, Latino community, but also, you know, refugee. We got, you know, I think Nashville now is the number one city now in the refugee community, Middle Eastern refugee. So the Hispanic community, Latino, yeah, we got now not only we got tacos fans, but we got arepas, we got Dominican food, we got Puerto Rican food. So it has grown.
Oh, you're making me hungry for a pupusa.
which we also have pupusas too.
Okay. Has the Latino population led to a Latino influence on the music that comes out of Nashville?
Yes. David, you want to say something about that?
I think all the music that is happening in Nashville, I can tell you that for me, for instance, until I moved to the U.S., I moved here from the U.K. I studied music and I lived in the U.K. for a few years. And when I moved here to the U.S., I got to Nashville and I met all these Latin American people, and I couldn't tell the difference between the accents. I mean, let alone the music, you know. So by being with them in Nashville, I mean, I knew flamenco and I knew what was, you know, sounded Latin, but I couldn't tell the difference between a bachata, cumbia, or anything like that. It was all the same to me. And by being in Nashville, I learned all that, and I started playing country because I did play country back in the UK So I was like, I'm going to play country, and, you know, but everyone was like, can you do some flamenco? And I'm okay. And then I felt more welcome, you know, in the Latino community than maybe downtown in Broadway. So it was a big influence, yeah, what's happening
okay.
in right now for the music.
Another reason why I'd love to have you visit us in Mexico when people can do visiting is that there's a good-sized flamenco community in central Mexico. And there's indigenous and also in Veracruz. And it's indigenous. It's not imported from Spain. All those Spanish dancers and musicians do come through, but frequently the dancers come through and the musicians are domestic. The town I live in, Ajijic, actually has a strong community that teaches flamenco and flamenco on the cajon. And so we'll make you feel welcome. Anyway, like I said, we're almost out of time, but I want to play another song that I really fell in love with. And I mentioned it earlier. This is Domino.
Okay, good.
Good.
Jugar al dominó. Que suban esta radio que está su canción. Because you want her, you think that she wants you. Pero ella lo que quiere es jugar al dominó. Jugar al dominó. Jugar al dominó. Jugar al dominó. ¿Te crees que tienes la pinga más dulce? Que todas las mujeres bailan a tu son. ¿Quieres que vaya contigo a la cama? Pero ella lo que quiere es jugar al dominó.
Now, like I said earlier, I love the beat and the harmonies in Domino. And it's nice to hear a female voice, too. You set a very interesting stage for the song with that introduction, and then you wail and harmonize and rock. So musically, what are all the influences in that song?
Yeah, in Domino we have the you know, the main beat is reggaeton. So, you know, like the urban music that is now very popular. But we have nylon string guitars playing some like flamenco rhythms. We even sampled some vocals from Camarón de la Isla, which is the biggest flamenco singer from Spain. And then we have this girl from Puerto Rico who raps at the end. So it was, and the guitars, we have electric guitars that sound very rock too. And the idea behind all that is that we want to do something like a Latinx sound, but that is, you know, up to date. So we don't want to go back to the roots and simply just play, you know, like traditional Mexican, Puerto Rican, whatever music. We want to make something that is connected to today and also like create a new way of understanding what it means to be a Latinx, you know, member in today's world. So I think that's why we mixed, because it's basically taking the traditional stuff, but mixing also with modern stuff, so that it sounds like a modern Latinx identity. So it doesn't have to be a mariachi or like traditional music that maybe our parents listen to. It doesn't have to be plainly rock or American music, but it can be the mix of everything which truly represents what it means to be a Latinx person in the U.S. today.
Well, you pulled it off. You did it.
Good.
Yeah. Who was the mujer from Puerto Rico? She's really good.
She's la diez from Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. She's a rapper and an artist from Puerto Rico. Yeah.
We were talking
she's
earlier
really
during during the break about how long it took you, and I just wonder, did you record this song live, or did you and your producers assemble it from separate cuts?
We did many different things. We had people from Venezuela playing some of the horns. We had people from Uruguay, people from Philadelphia. We had this girl from Puerto Rico. So we did a bit of everything. You know, we first laid down the base of every song just simply with the guitar and vocals. And then we just experimented with different things that we could add. It's basically like you're cooking this, you know, like some food that you had different recipes, and then you're like, okay, I've got these different ways of doing it, but I'm also just going to have things that cross my mind right now and see if it works. And when it didn't, we deleted it. And if it worked, we left it.
Could you do that live in a concert?
We can, I mean, we can use many of the ones that, like, the Mi Barrio, which is a trap, or the reggaeton one. We're going to use the stems, which is basically the programmed sound. We're going to use that.
Yeah.
But then we're also going to have all sorts of musicians that are going to play with us and play the... Also, the thing is that we don't really see necessarily that the live show has to represent the album. The live show has to be a communal party in which everyone is having fun, and not like two shows can't be the same. So,
well,
that's like a whole different, you know, thing.
Yeah, it is, but I'm sure everybody will have fun. I'm looking forward to it. Well, unfortunately, we're going to stop having fun because the clock says so. The album is out today, and I want to thank you for letting Music Sin Fronteras help you launch it. Where should people go to hear the album and also to buy the entire album?
They can go to YouTube if they want to check out the single, La Rumba del Coco. For the album, Prisiones y Fugas, they can go on Spotify and all platforms. It's going to be all around, and especially... Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Facebook, and everything, and they'll have all the information there. We'll tell everyone what we have, what they can do, and also they'll have access to more new material, like live shows that we're going to be doing from our home, etc. So that would be the best thing to do.
Do you have a schedule of live shows set up already?
Not right now, because, you know, like, everything is very... It just things keep changing every day, so we don't know really where we're going. So
that
we had
live streams.
We're gonna try to adapt to that. And also, we think it's the right thing to do right now. You know, that being conscious about what's going on, we also have to try and deliver our music and artistic proposal to all the people that can't leave the house and around the world. So I think it's very the time to do that too.
Well, when you you do set up a live stream, let me know. I'm writing reviews of live streams instead of concerts, so I will definitely be there. But in the meantime, Benjamin and David, I want to thank you for taking the time to be here today and also for giving us such great music and so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, that was our conversation with the Rumba Madre. Their album, Prisiones y Fugas, is out today, right now. So as soon as I have said goodbye, just zip over to your favorite platform and be one of the first to stream it or download it. It rocks, as you could tell from the music that we heard on the show today. And, of course, you can follow them at rumbamadre.com. And check out the Rumba del Coco video on YouTube. If you need a laugh today, that'll be the way to get it. Okay, you have been listening to Music Sin Fronteras with me, Patrick O'Heffernan, from the CyberStationUSA.com network, from the BlogTalkRadio.com network, and, of course, it's the radio affiliates of CyberStation USA. And also, probably tomorrow, you're going to hear us in the UK on Artist Echo's radio network. And incidentally, it's spring here, lots of pollen. My throat is a little itchy, so my apologies for not being the usual basso profundo radio voice. Like our Facebook page and follow our Twitter feeds, and you'll get real updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. You know, you can download this and all the Music Sin Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com. We're also on iTunes. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Next week, tune in. We're going to have a special double show for you. Eileen Carey, an award-winning singer, songwriter, and also the author of the wildly popular The Music Mom blog, is going to be here. That's going to be a lot of fun. And Strictly Elizabeth is going to be back. Now, our regular listeners will recall that she was on last week. We had technical problems, and we lost her in the middle of the interview, and we couldn't get her back. She's back. We're back. Everything's been taken care of. So we want to finish the interview with her and also play some more music from her debut album, Shelter in Place, for you, which will be out next weekend, next Friday, actually. So check out our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we'll give you any little new details on that. But it's going to be a great show. We haven't had a doubleheader for a long time, and these are two very, very talented women, and also they're both pretty, very entertaining women, too. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. Tener un gran fin de semana musical.